How do you catch a monkey? There's a simple and effective way to do it without hurting the animal. Once there was a farmer who cut a hole in a coconut, which was just big enough for the monkey to slide in his hand. He tied the coconut to a tree and put a banana inside. After that, he waited. And in just a matter of time, a curious monkey came checking out the coconut and smelled the banana. The monkey put his hand inside the coconut, grabbed it, and tried to pull the banana out. But he couldn't, as his fist didn't fit through the small hole. Then the farmer calmly walked toward the tree and caught the monkey. Even though the monkey could have just let go of the banana so he could pull out his hand and escape, he didn't. He held on to it tightly. Greed is an intense and selfish desire for something, especially wealth, power, or food. It's often seen as the root of all evil and can be a powerful motivator that can lead individuals down a path of self-destruction. In the story of the monkey and the coconut, the monkey's desire for the banana illustrates the dangers of giving in to this deadly sin. The monkey's unwillingness to let go of the banana highlights how greed can blind us to the consequences of our actions, ultimately sabotaging our freedom and well-being. He so much desired the banana that he sacrificed his freedom to have it. Similarly, in our modern society, greed can manifest in various ways, such as the relentless pursuit of wealth, power, or material possessions, often at the expense of others. By examining the pitfalls of greed, we can gain a better understanding of how this sin influences both individual behavior and broader societal issues. So, is greed indeed the root of all evil? Or isn't greed as bad as one makes it out to be? The seven deadly sins is a Christian concept that presents humanity with seven immoral acts, seven transgressions against the divine, oneself, and the world around us. The idea of the seven deadly sins came to fruition when the Desert Father Evagrius Ponticus listed the eight evil thoughts: gluttony, lust, avarice, anger, sloth, sadness, vainglory, and pride. But it had Greek and Roman precedents, specifically the ethics of Aristotle. In the 6th century, Pope Gregory I revised Evagrius' list and turned it into the list of sins we know: pride, greed, lust, envy, gluttony, wrath, and sloth. This video series explores the seven deadly sins as a Christian concept and beyond. What's so bad about these sins? How do they apply to present-day life and society? And how can they influence our well-being and the well-being of those around us? And can non-Christians benefit from this concept? This essay delves into the mother of all sin: greed. When greedy, we have an intense desire for something external, predominantly things like money, power, or food. In many cases, we let our lives revolve around it, always chasing what we desire, making acquiring it our main purpose. From the Christian viewpoint, greed is bad. Moreover, within the sin of greed lies the root of all evil. Contrary to what many people think, it's not money itself in which the root of evil lies, but our love of money. It's that thirst to get more, that hunger to acquire lots of expensive stuff we don't need. What does the Bible say about greed? First of all, it mentions that greed is the desire of the world, as opposed to the desire of God, and you can't have it both ways. In the Bible, Jesus stated, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." End quote. The pursuit of money and other worldly goods often stems from selfish desires. Individuals seeking their own self-interests may do so at the expense of others. People blinded by greed can compromise their morals and ethics in order to acquire what they want. Greed implies a strong selfish desire for worldly things, whereas serving God requires a commitment to moral and ethical principles. By following these principles, we prioritize the needs of others above our self-interest and relinquish our attachment to worldly desires. Consequently, the selfish pursuit of worldly things, be it material wealth or carnal pleasures, is at odds with the Christian path. Throughout various passages in the Bible, we find persuasive messages encouraging us to abstain from the path of greed and instead choose to serve God wholeheartedly. As Christians believe, not only will our faith in God and obedience to His will ultimately lead us to heaven, but it will also enhance our lives on earth, promoting individual well-being and social cohesion. Christian values such as contentment, humility, loving thy neighbor, and generosity oppose greed. While they might not guarantee material wealth, they do grant access to a truer form of wealth, which can be encapsulated in the word love. We can experience a distinct, non-material form of richness that transcends the acquisition of worldly things. This inner wealth is generated from within, making it a reliable, sustainable, and low-budget means of achieving contentment. On the other hand, if we allow our happiness to depend on the acquisition of worldly things, such as money, expensive possessions, or carnal pleasure, we place ourselves in a precarious position. We let our contentment rely on factors that are mostly beyond our control, which leads to stress and despair. If we get what we desire, we're delighted. But if we fail to get what we desire, we feel awful, as the Bible teaches. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. End quote. So far, the sin of greed seems to be a dangerous force. As allegedly one of the most destructive sins, it not only alienates individuals from the spiritual path, but also renders their happiness dependent on the pursuit of wealth and material possessions. Yet, there lies an additional pitfall in following the path of greed, the insatiable nature of desire. The accumulation of worldly goods can never truly satisfy, leaving individuals in a perpetual state of yearning. When we fall for the sin of greed, we'll quickly find ourselves in a difficult trap. Not only will greed manifest as an intense desire for the things we're desirous of, but it will also present us with a persistent delusion. Our greed promises contentment after we have acquired the thing we want. For example, if you've accumulated $1 million, you'll be happy. If you own 2 houses and a boat, you'll be content. And of course, the higher the threshold for that happiness and contentment to occur, the harder we must work to obtain it. But when we finally see the 7 digits in our bank accounts and get the keys to our houses and boat, we'll have obtained what we have been looking for. However, the sense of satisfaction is short-lived. Greed, therefore, isn't a means to an end, even though it might present itself that way. With greed, there is no end. The insatiable desire for more, the perpetual dissatisfaction with what one has, no matter how much, is woven into the fabric of this sin, as stated in the Bible. He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This also is vanity. End quote. So, what drives greed? What are the underlying psychological conditions and mechanisms related to greed? One of the primary drivers of greed is the belief that material possessions and wealth will lead to happiness and fulfillment. This belief is often reinforced by cultural messages and societal norms that equate success and status with material wealth. When society tells us that getting rich is an ultimate concern, many likely begin to believe this is the case. We're shown imagery of beautiful beaches, expensive cars, and lavish cocktail parties, posing as models of the ideal happy life. But many people who've accomplished such lives are not happy. Often, they're pretty miserable. Still captivated by the idea that acquisition solves their problems, they aim for more to fill in the void, perpetuating the cycle. Another factor that contributes to greed is a sense of insecurity or fear of scarcity. People who experience these feelings may hoard resources or accumulate wealth to protect themselves against potential future hardship. Hence, we see people accumulating more and more stuff they don't need, and garages full of this stuff that people refuse to let go of. Also, we see people who have accumulated money far beyond what they'll ever need to provide for life's necessities, who still possess a sense of insecurity. In addition, certain personality traits are associated with greed, including narcissism, entitlement, and impulsivity. Narcissistic individuals may be more prone to greed because they have an inflated sense of self-importance and a desire for admiration and attention. Entitled individuals may feel that they deserve to have more than others, while impulsive individuals may act on their desires without fully considering the consequences. Furthermore, research has identified biological factors that may contribute to greed. For example, studies have found that testosterone is associated with increased risk-taking behavior and a desire for social dominance, which may lead to a greater propensity for greed. Overall, the roots of greed are complex, with a combination of cultural, psychological, and biological factors at play. Long ago, in biblical times, there was a wealthy farmer who went on a trip and left his farm to his farm workers to watch over it. When it was time to harvest, he sent a couple of servants to collect the profits. But the workers didn't let them. They drove the servants away because they wanted the farm for themselves. So what did the wealthy farmer do when he discovered what had happened to his servants? He got rid of the workers and hired people he could trust. Greed is a powerful force that can divide people and sow distrust among them. In the story of the wealthy farmer and his farm workers, we see how greed can cause people to act selfishly and turn against each other. The workers were so consumed by their desire for the farm that they were willing to hurt others to get it. Being rich among the poor also makes one a target for crime. We can also see this in the story of the wealthy farmer, who becomes a target of his workers. Especially when people pridefully flaunt their wealth, they attract other, less fortunate people that want to take from them. It's not surprising that the ancient Taoist main text, the Tao Te Ching, tells us not to display our riches to others, as this will attract thieves. So we see that greed is problematic on two sides, with the people who have accumulated their wealth motivated by greed, and those who want to take from these people also driven by greed. These relations create a cycle of mistrust and suspicion that makes it difficult for people to work together towards common goals. The more riches greedy, wealthy people have, the more others want to take from them, and the more these groups grow apart. In society at large, greed can contribute to inequality and injustice, as those who are most driven by the pursuit of wealth and power may be less likely to consider the needs and interests of others. They can create a sense of division and conflict between different groups, with each group trying to maximize its own advantage at the expense of others, often the poor. The Bible states, "Whoever oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker, but whoever is kind to the needy honors God." End quote. If the acquisition of wealth is our main goal, and only a limited part of the population succeeds in obtaining it, then two groups emerge from that: the haves and the have-nots. We can see this already happening in today's societies. The haves are considered the winners, the desirable caste, while the have-nots are considered and openly called losers, the lowest caste, the untouchables, the cultural pariahs. Time will tell if this situation is sustainable or not. Moreover, in many cases, greedy people seem to have a complete disregard for the natural environment, as they destroy nature and abuse animals for profit. How many oceans and rivers have been polluted, forests cut down, and animals treated horribly just for some greedy people to fill their pockets? Greed, the insatiable desire for more, can be a treacherous path to take. It promises happiness, success, and fulfillment, but often leads to disappointment, despair, and emptiness. Greed convinces us that material wealth and possessions will bring us happiness, but in reality, it only serves to separate us from what truly matters. Therefore, following greed is a vain practice, as it will never deliver what it promises. If anything, greed makes our lives worse, and we're less likely to find what we're looking for, which is essentially a sense of satisfaction. Greed blinds us to the world around us, the beauty of nature, the joys of companionship, and the richness of life. It makes us focus solely on what we want, what we must have, and it convinces us that only through the acquisition of material possessions we can achieve happiness. This focus on the acquisition of wealth and power can lead to a sense of superiority over others, which is another sin called pride. This feeling of superiority creates a division between ourselves and those around us, which only reduces the odds of feeling happy. After all, we've made many enemies, and so a great deal of our time we spend on defending ourselves from them. Greed does not lead to happiness. Quite the opposite. It leads to a sense of general dissatisfaction, as we're never truly satisfied with what we have. We're always seeking more, always wanting something new, bigger, and better. Greed tells us that if we have just that one thing, we'll be happy. But when we get it, we discover that this happiness is fleeting. It never lasts. So we keep returning for more and find ourselves stuck in a cycle of desire, acquisition, and disappointment. So, if we want to be content, greed is not the answer. Contentment is not something that can be bought or acquired through material possessions. It comes from within, from a sense of peace and fulfillment that we can find within ourselves. The less we need to be fulfilled, the better off we are, as reaching satisfaction is easy and affordable. That's why the Greek philosopher Epicurus argued that to make a man happy, one shouldn't add unto his riches, but take away from his desires. Greed does the opposite. It increases our desires and leads us to add to our riches on account of it. Greed also leads to psychological byproducts that reduce the odds of being happy. Research shows that those who are more materialistic and driven by the acquisition of wealth and possessions are more likely to experience negative emotions such as anxiety, depression, and loneliness. Greed creates a sense of isolation as we focus solely on ourselves and our own desires rather than on the needs and desires of others. The Bible states, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." After exploring the nature of greed, its psychological and social effects, and the Christian perspective on this sin, one might wonder, is greed inherently bad, and should we avoid it at all costs? Or are there any positive aspects of greed that we might consider? And is, therefore, the Christian view of greed too one-sided? Greed is considered one of the seven deadly sins for a reason. It's an insatiable desire for more, often at the expense of others. It can lead to selfishness, dishonesty, and a disregard for moral and ethical principles. Moreover, it can create division and conflict in society, contributing to inequality and injustice. When people prioritize the acquisition of wealth and material possessions above all else, they often neglect other important aspects of life, such as relationships, inner peace, and social responsibility. Furthermore, while greed may promise contentment and happiness, in reality, it often leads to disappointment and dissatisfaction. The accumulation of material possessions can never truly satisfy our deepest longings and desires, and we're left perpetually chasing after the next thing that we believe will bring us happiness. As the Bible warns, "Whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with our income." End quote. But are there any positive aspects of greed that we might consider? It's difficult to see how greed is a good thing. There's nothing wrong with a healthy ambition to achieve personal goals. But that doesn't have to include greed, which is something different. It's not an integral part of ambition or desire for success. We can be successful without greed. We can be ambitious and accomplish great things without greed. On the other hand, greed can be a strong driving force for humanity to advance. We only have to look at its achievements that were motivated by money. So yes, there are positive side effects of greed as well. But they come with a price, which we have explored in this video. While it's understandable that we might feel drawn to the allure of greed, it's important to recognize its harmful effects. Ultimately, greed is a force that can lead us down a path of vanity and despair. Greed can blind us to the beauty of the world and the richness of life, leaving us feel empty and dissatisfied, craving for more. It's a force that drives us away from what, for a Christian at least, truly matters in life: our relationships with others, our connection to the natural world, and our inner sense of peace and contentment. The more money and material possessions we need, the more time and energy it takes to get them, the more difficult it is to be satisfied, and the more likely we experience the destructive consequences of greed. Hence, the more you want, the worse it gets. Thank you for watching.